He's back. It's time. Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch on Robin Hood Radio. Arthur, I have to say, after you say good morning, that
good
numerous
morning.
People wanted to know where you'd gone and what happened.
Well, I went on a cruise from New York to Quebec and back, except the back ended up to be in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is fine. I'd never actually been to Bayonne Port. It's called Port Liberty. It's a cruise port. But I now know it's only, at worst, really, 45 minutes from home. So that's not bad when you get off a ship. So I cruise up to Quebec and back. It takes 18 days. I went on the ship that I went on, which is the Crystal Serenity. I'll give you a little background in a minute, because I'd been on it before and knew that I was going to be totally pampered and well taken care of and that I would eat very well. So all of that what was true. I could not have eaten better, really, and I could not have been better taken care of. So it's a small ship by cruise ship standards. In all those days, we never had more than 650 people on the ship, and there are actually more than 650 in the crew. The ship only holds 740, but as somebody pointed out to me, not every stateroom has two people in it. So, in fact, there were quite a few singles, I have to say. When I say singles, I mean singles of a certain age. This ship draws an older crowd, which is fine by me since I am older. So it's the Crystal Serenity. Now, Bob and I went on a 35-day trip on the Crystal Serenity 12 years ago, and we never one day thought we could do better. It was an amazingly comfortable and delightful trip from Sydney, Australia, all around Australia, to Bali, Java, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, and finally Hong Kong. I'm probably missing a few little ports there. All interesting ports. Now, this trip, we did not go on for the ports. We went on for the ship. And I have to say, as a veteran cruiser, I think that's a better choice. Depends on who you are and what you're looking for, which ship will have that. But I knew I wanted very, very good service above everything, and I knew I wanted good food. So those were the two prime. In any case, our 35-day trip was still in good memory. And what happened here is that Crystal went bankrupt in, I don't know, 2020, 2021, something like that. And we were bereft because we were looking forward to doing another Crystal cruise. But a company that I'd never heard of until now called Abercrombie and Kent, an English travel company, bought the two ships, the Serenity, the one we were on, and the Symphony, which is the other one, and they're going to be a third Crystal ship soon. I forget what they're going to call it. There used to be one called the Harmony. Anyway, Crystal went back into business and refurbished the Serenity and I think some parts of the Symphony as well. And we stayed in one of the refurbished suites. They made the ship even smaller in the sense that it used to hold over 1,000 people, and now maximum is 740, and staff is high 600, so you can imagine you get catered to. We stopped in nothing ports. Got to say, I've been to Halifax now 4 times, and even once it may have been too much. I'm sure it's a nice place to live, but there's nothing for a tourist to do. We went to St. John's Island.
Newfoundland?
Pardon me?
Newfoundland?
Newfoundland, yeah. Well, also Sydney, Nova Scotia. The Maritimes, they're
right.
Called, the eastern parts of Canada that are on the Atlantic Ocean. And this ship was really rocky.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Well, I don't get seasick. Bob doesn't get seasick. That was not an issue. The only issue is walking around the ship. Now, for somebody who is limited in my ability to walk, a ship is a great place to do it because everything is flat. There are elevators everywhere, so it's not at least at 3 points in the ship. So that's not an issue, no steps. And every hallway has a railing. So even if you and I'm with Kane. There were a lot of Kanes on the ship, but even more, it made me feel a little bit more mobile than other people who were using various kinds of mobility vehicles, electric scooters, wheelchairs. Really, you could have had a mobility showroom here. There were so many mobility devices. So a cane seemed like nothing.
And anyway,
so I got a lot of walking in. Even on day, you know, we didn't get off the ship very much. We got off in Quebec. We had a wonderful mediocre food but wonderful lunch at the Chateau Frontenac, where Bob and I have stayed more than once, and then we have some other nostalgia for it. So we hightailed it directly to the Chateau Frontenac, which is the big old hotel in at the top of the hill in Quebec. And I intended to walk around the area, which has, you know, all the tourist shops and, you know, quaint streets, but it was raining and slippery, so that was out of the question. Just sitting and looking at the St. Lawrence River was pleasant enough. In any case, we went to Boston. I hadn't been to Boston in 30 years, and I've got to say, Boston has been built up so much that we basically were stuck in a traffic jam the whole time we were on this bus tour. The tour guide kept giving us history and telling us about things, but we didn't get to see much. So Boston was a bust. Anyway, but the ship itself was great. And I have to say, Bob and I ate at the buffet for lunch most days, not every day, but most days, where we had a few luncheon companions, including a man who was close, very close to 90, who was a chick magnet, meaning there were a lot of older single women on board, and they all wanted to sit with Peter. That was interesting. And what was even better at the marketplace is that every day they had a sensational roast, filet, prime rib, leg of lamb. They had porchetta a couple of times. And they always had a lot of good vegetables and potatoes in some simple way, like roasted potatoes or steamed potatoes, but also a fancy potato dish. So this was my indulgence, was to go to the buffet at lunch, have a great roast. And I mean, they were not veal. Where do you see a rib of veal roast? That was really good. And I treated myself to whatever the fancy potato dish was. Gotta say, we have rediscovered potatoes on this trip. Bob became enamored of all the soups that they served, and most of them were based on leek and potato. Leek and potato, and I could tell whatever vegetables they were in abundance that day. Carrots come to mind. But in fact, when I was a kid, I guess I didn't really. I liked vegetables. My sister hated all vegetables. But I liked vegetables, and I particularly liked carrots. So my mother would puree the carrots with mashed potatoes, and she also would make spinach with mashed potatoes. So if you water that down, you've got a leek and potato soup. So I am going to be making some leek and potato soup. Bob, in particular, is aching for potatoes now. I guess potatoes can become a habit. So they would have a gratin of potatoes. They would have a buttermilk mashed potatoes, I'm going to remember fondly.
Do they have double stuffed,
No, but actually, I never ordered this, but I would say the one flaw I noticed in the food service was that they baked potatoes in foil, which I always think is a total no-no
because
it comes out steamed. So I bake a potato the way, literally learned from James Beard himself, which is I wash the potato, a russet potato. I wash it well. I poke a few knife point holes in it around the whole potato, and I put it in a 400-degree oven for about an hour. Lately, because I'm impatient to wait for my oven to preheat, I actually put them in a cold oven and then turn it up to 400. And they'll take more than an hour because it takes some time to get up to heat. But anyway, an hour at 400 that usually does the trick. And I poke a fork in to make sure it's fully tender. If not, I just put it back. You know, this all depends, of course, on the size and exact shape of your potato. Now is the essential part, the Beardian part. I take my potato in a cloth or potholder, and I open it by poking an X in it with a fork, meaning the length of the potato and the width of the potato, crossing in the middle, and then put it on a plate, and when you push it together, it'll all fluff up. And if it doesn't fluff up, you didn't cook it enough probably, but it should all fluff up, and then you can put your topping on, which for me can just be a big pat of butter. Sour cream you want, chives you want, bacon bits you want, whatever you want to put on it. I don't need to have it double baked. But anyway, and that way, by the way, the skin gets usually a little crisp, sometimes leathery, it's okay. And I eat it all. I mean, I eat the skin and everything. In fact, the skin is very good for you. Good fiber.
I wonder if that's a Brooklyn / Buffalo thing, because for sure the best part was the skin, which we savored, and then had extra butter on that. Potato skin and butter.
Yeah, listen, my father treated a baked potato as a separate course altogether. He had it on a separate plate, and he was very carefully open it up, put butter on it, mash it up, cut it into pieces as he ate it, with the skin and all. But really, it was a separate course. He wanted to concentrate on that baked potato. By the way, when you make I am going to be making leek and potato soup, which I haven't done in a long time. And my leek and potato soup, besides the leeks, you have to make a decision, because they're all the same, but you have to make a decision about the potato. And I do prefer, like a Yukon Gold or other all-purpose potato for my leek and potato soup, as opposed to a baking potato, otherwise known as a russet potato or an Idaho potato. You'll get a creamier texture in the end if you use a Yukon Gold or other boiling potato. If you want to throw the skins in, you can. Of course, that's going to change the texture. But if you want it just purely creamy, which I have to say is what Bob fell in love with, this kitchen was meticulous on the Crystal Serenity. Let me say, this was impressive to me. I ate a lot of asparagus on this trip, and every spear was peeled. When you ordered a fruit plate, because they're trying to be, you know, elegant, fancy, the grapes on the plate would have a tiny little slice cut off the bottom so that they could stand up on the plate. And by the way, they were delicious grapes, too. They weren't just for decorations. I was able to get a big bowl of berries for breakfast every morning. The food, I have to say, because it's an older crowd, the food tended to be simple but beautifully presented. But nothing to scare off any old guy. I had duck a couple of nights, and the duck came with braised red cabbage, which was sensational. And because it's fancy food, the potato was shaped in like a pear, breaded and fried. So it was like a potato croquette, but shaped like a pear.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, but it was just a potato croquette. So, you know, it was like that. The main dining room tried to be very, I mean, they didn't try, they were very refined. Then there were specialty restaurants, an Italian place called Osteria Ovidia, which is named after the owner of Abercrombie & Kent, an Italian gentleman. It was very good, but we only went once. I wasn't drawn to it. There's a Nobu, the only Nobu at sea, and we went there one night, and that was sensational. But Bob doesn't love Japanese food, so we never went back. And we were always enticed by the main dining room, got to say. And the third was a place called the Beef Bar. Now, before we left, I looked this up, and it ends up it's a chain out of Monte Carlo. And there's one in Manhattan on Hudson Street. In fact, Crystal had a promotional party at the Beef Bar on Hudson Street just before we left. Anyway, I looked at the menu of the Beef Bar on Hudson Street, and it was unbelievably expensive. I mean, everything seems unbelievably expensive these days, but that in particular. And we get on the ship, and I was looking forward to having, you know, like a really sensational steak. But the least sensational of the sensational steaks was another $95 extra. Now, I should have paid it just to see. I don't care because this was an all-inclusive trip. I mean, even wine at meals was free. Cocktails, everything was free. Everything is, I shouldn't say free. You pay for it, but it's all included. You don't have to pay a penny extra. In any case, this was the only place where you had to pay more than a penny extra. And it was for a cut of meat that I never see, except occasionally at Costco. Now, that is the crescent of meat that partially encircles the rib eye. On a rib steak or a rib roast, you know, there's the very tender, beautiful, finely textured piece of meat in the middle, which I call the rib eye. And then there's another piece around it, which I always call deckel because I only knew the Yiddish word, but it's also called top of the rib, and there's another word for it, too, I forget. Anyway, that piece of meat is coarser and fattier than the rib eye, and it's rarely sold on its own. However, at Costco, every once in a while, they have pieces of it, meaning they piece together two or three of these crescents and tie it together into a circle to make one beautiful steak. So whenever I see that, I buy it. But normally, I don't see that. And I just buy a big steak. Now, Costco does carry prime-aged meat. So it is that is why I often buy meat there. So anyway, Beef Bar is an interesting place. At lunch, you didn't have to make a reservation. At dinner, it was much in demand, and it was hard to get a table. But as I said, the main dining room is wonderful, as was the buffet. And, you know, since there are only 600-something people on the ship and only about maybe half of them ever go to the buffet for lunch, it was never crowded. And the service is such, like, as soon as I walked in the door, there was a waiter who would put an iced tea on the table, knowing I was going to want an iced tea.
So, from a comparative standpoint, it sounds like the service, et cetera, and the amenities on this particular...
Well, let me say, on Crystal, the service and the food is totally... I mean, the food was never less than good. Most of the time, it was excellent, and even surprisingly excellent. The amenities, there's a spa. You pay extra for every treatment. That is the one thing you do pay extra for. But I must say, the ship line gave us a lot of shipboard credit to do that. And they have an excellent, what they call, enrichment program. If you wanted to, you could have taken lessons on your cell phone with a cell phone guide, a nice woman named Lori, who serviced my cell phone a few times in the dining room. But I never went to her class. And there were three gentlemen who gave lectures. One was a historian who gave several lectures on Canada-U.S. history, joint history, Canada history, Quebec. Very interesting man, Douglas Nelson. And then there was a major general who gave several lectures on world affairs. as well as the former editor of USA Today, who gave a number of lectures, including one, I think got a really good audience. He has interviewed all the presidents from Carter to now, and he had personal reflections on all the presidents, which was interesting. And they were all very friendly people who mingled with the. They didn't just stand up and lecture. They were around, and they were happy to engage you in a conversation. So, and we met people. That's funny. Bob met. We sat next to it in the dining room one night. A couple who went to the same schools that he did in Honolulu, and when we came home, Bob actually showed me the picture of John in his yearbook. So they had a nice memory lane thing. And I bumped into, you know, many years ago, I was asked by a Hollywood producer to write a screenplay. And I said, no, I don't think I can. And he said, but you have to live in L.A. I said, no, I don't think I can live in L.A. He says, why not? Everybody's from Brooklyn. Well, see, it seemed that way on this ship. Every time I bumped into somebody, they were all from California, but originally from Brooklyn. And I learned that people's view of where I live is really strange and has nothing to do with the reality of Brooklyn. Including one day, somebody said, "Oh, you should watch this movie. It's on the in the room. You can watch this movie. I think it was called 24th Street," and they said it's all about Brooklyn. So Bob and I turned this movie on to see what it was about, and in 15 minutes we realized it was the total worst stereotypes about Brooklyn and Brooklyn people, and we couldn't take it, so we didn't watch it.
Yeah, well, I think there's probably, I got to say, there's probably some reason that the Brooklyn Dodgers went to L.A.
Well, that was 1957. I was too young to actually,
okay.
I mean, I knew all about this, of course, because my father and my grandfather were huge Dodger fans, and they were very, very angry in 1957. My grandfather was always angry, so it was nothing new. But, you know, we used to go to ball games, and my grandfather would start a fist fight with somebody.
Yeah. My
grandfather was a little guy.
Yeah, it's usually the little guys.
Yeah. Anyway, so you know, I met people from who were originally from Bensonhurst, originally from Flatbush, and then the other thing was I had a laugh, you know, because the ship was docked in New York for 2 days and blah blah blah. I said, "Oh, did you see any of New York and any of Brooklyn?" They would say, "Oh, we walked over the Brooklyn Bridge." And I said, and then? and then we went back. You know, I mean, as if when you walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, you're in downtown Brooklyn with courthouses and office buildings, and that's not really, it's not real Brooklyn. Although it's getting more and more. You know, we now have a building that's taller than the Empire State Building.
I have to just ask, go back to, because I have always tended to a touch of Maldemar. So the two of you don't get seasick, but
we don't get seasick, but we definitely felt the rocking a couple of days. I told you the production performances had to be canceled because you couldn't dance. However, we came home, and both of us, for the first day, were incredibly woozy, tired, nauseated, like maybe we were seasick. But it ends, Bob looked it up because he's a librarian, and in fact, it's something called disembarkation syndrome or cruise vertigo. And I would say it lasted until yesterday. So we came home Friday morning, and it lasted until Sunday evening. So I think we're okay. I'm sure we're okay. But it took a while to get used to it. And this never happened before because our other ships have been so stable. I don't remember this being rocky when we went 12 years ago, but the Queen Mary, too, is extremely stable, and we've been on that quite a few times lately. You barely feel like you're moving. And last time we were on, we actually had to go further north than usual to avoid a storm coming from the south. So the ship went around the storm, and still we felt nothing. So anyway, I think we're over it. I've been busy using up what food I had in the house, which isn't very much.
So what did you do with the onions? She asked.
Ah, yeah, Jill knew I was cooking onions. I had a lot of onions, and red onions don't last that long. So I mixed red and my white yellow onions, I should say, and I fried them, and I didn't know what I was going to do. In the end, I added some dried porcini, which I reconstituted, of course, in hot water, and chopped and sautéed them with the onions for a few minutes. And in the end, I just added eggs. We had scrambled eggs with onions and porcini.
That sounds delicious.
It was delicious.
And
I will do it again more purposefully.
So,
didn't even need any extra seasoning.
No.
Listen, fried onions carry the
no salt and pepper?
Of course salt and pepper.
Okay, just checking.
Goes without saying.
I agree.
And also, by the way, I also threw in a little nutmeg.
All right, so
everybody have a healthy week. I'm big into healthy week. And we'll talk next week.
We will talk to you next week. And
I'll be a landlubber.
And I can assure you, Mr. Landlubber, Mrs. Landlubbers, that people will be hanging on to your every word. Welcome back. Thank you very much. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.